Hello, how you doing? I think I'm on. I think I should be on. I'm green. I'm green. There, he's got me. Okay. All right. I got one. That's all I need is one up here. I wanted to make sure that the notes I have are what you have in front of you, okay? Outline, I meant, that we started to write. Joan, would you lead us in prayer, ask God's blessing on our time tonight? Amen. Thank you for that. All right. This is lesson number 12. Let's go to our map, one of our maps. Thank you. Where we're picking up tonight, if you remember, Jacob was down here around, the Canaan area, right there around Jerusalem. He was right there in that area, and he left. Can somebody tell me why he left? Heidi. He's getting away from his brother. So he goes up there around Haran, up there, and stayed with Laban for a while up there, and we'll pick him up now. He's coming back, and he probably thinks it's safe enough, or at least he's hoping it is safe enough for him to come back down there, rather than get in an all-out war with his brother, which is possible. Now he's coming back, and so we're going to pick him up there. Let's go to our first slide then. That's a good picture for this. I don't know if you've ever read this passage before, but it's strange. It just hits me as being real strange. So let's, Jacob is under a tremendous amount of stress. He just had that parting with Laban, which was very, I don't know if you picked up on how scary that was. They was right there, and they both knew it. They were right there at war with one another, and that would be ugly. But thank God it calmed down till he gets away from there, and he comes all the way down. Now he's in his home area of Canaan, and he's going to meet Esau. And he already knows that Esau is coming. And I think it said 400. I can't remember exactly what the text says there, but I think Esau has 400 men with him, so he's under this immense, great pressure, emotional pressure, and he's been lying in his. I think we have that in our text now. He's lying in his kids out and his family out, and best as he can to try and smooth this over and get this over. He sent gifts out there to Esau. I think we might have done that last week. We'll see. Okay. So he's under this tremendous amount of pressure. And I have this seeking suspicion. Now, I don't know, but it's just my own experience that when you absolutely have to have God, he shows up. You've got that same experience. I said, okay, thank you. It's because he just has. I mean, he just has to. I mean, there's like no way to deal with this. No way to deal with life. There's just no way to deal with all this without God. And I think that's part of what's going on here this evening. Okay, that he is alone. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. After he sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Now, this has got to be God. This has got to be God. I mean, there's just no sensible way to look at this in the text without this being God. So it's not like, you know, just a man. It's. I'm gonna venture out here. This is God in the form of a man, and some might call it an angel, you know, that kind of thing. But this is God in the form of a man, and it's almost like he takes Jacob here by surprise. A man wrestled with him. We're not sure about that. Okay, let's go to the next slide. There's more to this, isn't there? All right, let me see. Make sure I... Long night. Okay. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Now, this match and this information here shows that the man really wasn't in danger of losing the wrestling match with Jacob. Because if he wants to, he'll hurt him in the hip. And that's what he did. He hurt him in the hip. But what I like about this passage so much is the tenacity of Jacob to hang on. Do you get the idea? He just kind of hangs on. And I just love it. This has been quite a few years ago now. I assume there still is a lot of suicides among teenagers. And, you know, it just almost makes your heart break, you know. R.E.M. came out with a song, and all I remember about the song was, oh, by the way, R.E.M. is a group. I didn't know. So, and the big line in the song was, "Hang on." And almost like he was telling the kids, just hang on. Sometimes this will pass. And that's what I got out of Jacob here. Man, he hangs on. Go ahead, Diane. Jacob, Jacob, But what comes out of this, too, is you're wondering, why is daybreak an issue with God? I mean, let me go, for it is daybreak. You know, I don't know. I don't know. So there you are with that one. You know? So there's all these questions that we have here. And of course, he's he's going to leave there with a limp. He's going to leave there with a limp. Okay, we'll go on to the next slide then. Oh, okay. Thank you. The man asked him, what is your name? He says, Jacob. He answered then, the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Now, there's a great comforting message there. It's almost like an answer from God. You have been successful. Now, the name Jacob means supplanter, trickster, any bad name you can call him, horse trader, goat trader, swindler. He just borders right on the edge, and he has lived with his wits. That's how he's lived. If you watched his life up to now, like with Laban, and especially with Laban, but with Esau, he just lived with his wits. But now he's going to live by the blessing of God. And but it comes out here that he's been very successful dealing with humans and with God, and now he's going to overcome. What I like best about him is he takes a hold of God and will not let go until he gets the blessing. Don't you appreciate people like that? Who has that kind of nerve? Jacob. Jacob has that kind of nerve. So there he is. He's wrestling with God, and he's got a... Now, what does it mean he gets a name change here? What does that mean? Who said that? Yeah. Yeah. Anytime you have a face-to-face with God... Oh, by the way, the word face is really played into this. I'm talking about the Hebrew word for face is played into this all over the place. And so I want to make sure we get... Anytime you have a face-to-face meeting with God... You are changed by the experience. And most of the people are afraid that they will die in the experience. Well, that'll come out, I think, in the next few verses here. Most people are afraid they will die because of the experience. But the truth of the matter usually is we live because of the experience rather than die because of it. Okay? And sometimes life is as scary as death. Right? We've all lived long enough to know that. And there are things worse than death. Have we all lived long enough to know that? Yes. Okay. Jacob says, please tell me your name. And God does it. Now, I don't want to make a big deal out of this because you'll probably forget about it. I mean, it's just easy to forget about this stuff, okay? Because the name of God at this time in history is not known. Okay, I mean, it's in the Bible. You know, I think you can go back to Genesis chapter 2. You have the name of God in Genesis chapter 2. Not in chapter 1, but in chapter 2. In chapter 1, it's El, which is a more general understanding of God. Okay. Chapter 2, it's Yahweh. But I'm talking about in human history. Now, not in the text. It's kind of hard sometimes to keep that separated, okay? But in human history, the name of God is not going to be revealed until the burning bush experience. Okay, and I think that's what, second chapter of Exodus, somewhere around there, second chapter of Exodus. So the name of God is, and he's not going to reveal it here. But there it is translated, I am that I am. A great I am passage, which John in the Gospel of Jesus picks up on and talks about, like, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And the I ams just keep on going and going and going. You know, what is Jesus doing there? I'm Yahweh. I'm the God. I'm Yahweh. Okay. And always, that's just a great way. Jesus, every chance he got, he affirmed himself. You listen to it. He affirms himself. And there's a real play on that at the end of the gospel when people ask Peter, aren't you associated with him? You know what his answer says? I'm not. Two words. I'm not. Away from Jesus, he can't really have existence. With Jesus, he can be part of the I am. Okay? All right. I think that's what John means too by doing that. He's not making a mistake. He wants us to get the message. And by the way, Peter says that he denies Jesus three times. But the way he denies it is, I'm not. Okay. Jake said, please tell me your name. Why do you ask my name? And he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, which is face. That's the word for face there. So Peniel. I will say Peniel, okay? That'd probably be a better pronunciation. Saying is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. See, there was always that concern. And you'll see that, like a Gideon, when he meets God at the, I think it's on the threshing floor, I think. Or no, it's the wine vat, but he was threshing. You've got to get that right. You just have to get that right. You can't get that wrong. But yeah, and he thought he was going to die when the sacrifice is consumed. He thought that, okay? And it was just understood that if you see God, you die. That was just kind of understood. It's not true. We just kind of understood. And also now, you don't get to see like the glory of God here. You're just talking about his face, okay? And somebody made some real mention about his. Oh yeah, we'll do that a little later. Esau. Okay. The sun rose above him and he passed Peniel and he was limping because of his hip. For certain, when you meet God, you are changed by the experience in many ways. Okay? He will carry evidence of that experience with him. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is not found in the dietary laws any place, okay? But it was or is a practice of a lot of Jewish people today, okay? I'm just saying it's not in the dietary laws. All right, now we're going to have the great big meeting with Esau. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his, 400 men. Now that's scary. That's scary. This is a guy you've swindled several times. This is a guy your mama helped you to swindle. He don't get no meaner than that. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next. Do you see him stacking? Yeah, exactly. You gotta go there when you see this. He's a rascal now. He's making sure that those are the least, the next least, and well, I don't know, but I'm not trying to downgrade him because of that. I'm not trying to badmouth him because of that. I just say, but this is a smart guy. This is a smart guy. Yes. Yeah. But he even ranked them as they go up. He got them ranked out, you know. If we get this wave, then the other wave will go by. And, yeah. All right. The female servants and children. Yeah. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground seven times as he approached his brother. That really isn't done very much. I mean, Jacob is really humbling himself here. Seven is usually the number of completion or the full amount. Like you would in Revelation, you have the seven spirits of God. Well, they had a whole deal right here. Okay, so here he's bound seven times, meaning he's really submitting. It's overdoing it. Even, and they're both princes. If you have rank, they're both princes. Okay, waiting to be king. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. "Who are these with you?" he asked. Jacob answered. And I call this introduction here. They're going to introduce to each other the main characters of their life. Yeah, Diane? I hadn't thought about that. But that will come up later in their conversation. I hadn't thought about that. One thing I was getting at is he made sure he did the full, you can't bow any more than seven times. I mean, it's a full bow. Okay? And that's where I come to that. But that forgiveness, I think, does come up later. We'll see. I'm going to ask you about it, see, because I like it, and I'll try it out on you and see if you like it. Okay? See if that works for you. Okay. But Esau ran. Okay, we already did that. They are the children God has graciously given your servant. Let's go to the next slide. Then the female servants and the children approached and bowed down. Next, their children came, bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Notice only Joseph is mentioned with Rachel here, not the others from, and evidently Benjamin is not born yet. Great look here. Benjamin is not born. Okay. Esau asked, "What's the meaning of all these flocks and herds?" You remember how much he sent over? Okay, as a gift, he was sending all these over. "To find favor in your eyes, my lord," he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Now, you would always say that. No matter what you had, you would just always say that. All right? But I think Esau was doing well, thank God. Okay. "No, please," said Jacob, "if I found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God." Remember to play on the face. I mean, we got faces all over the place, but it wants to make sure that we get that understanding of seeing the face of God or being in the face of God. And Jacob says, Jacob says, "There's something about your face, Esau, that reminds me of God. And you know what it might be? It might be the forgiveness in his eyes that he sees. Because Esau forgave him. I don't know, but there's something about his face, unless he's just going to put this hyperbole, and I don't want to do that." Okay? So there was something about his face that reminded him of God. And again, it might be that forgiveness, but he just experienced forgiveness now from Esau, and he's got forgiveness from God. Because that experience with God, now he starts fresh after that. He starts with a new life. He starts with a new mission. Remember, he's coming back home now. He's going to take the place he's called for now. He's coming back home where his dad was, Abraham. And so he's going to take his rightful place in history now. But before he was evading and running off and doing this and doing that. But now he's going to take his rightful place. "Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. That's what you want to do. You want to make sure that every once in a while I will talk to a guy and I know if I'm going to do something for them, I need to ask their permission to do it. Because if you don't, you're almost arrogant. And if I want to do that sometimes, I'll say, please let me do this. And I mean it. Now, I don't say that unless I mean it. Please let me do this. So every once in a while, you need to do that. That's what's going on here. That he wants to do it, but he surely doesn't want to embarrass or make his brother look weak or poor. You know, he doesn't want to do that. No, that would get you killed out here. Okay? That's a great line. Esau accepted it. Well, that makes all the difference in the world. Then Esau said, let us be on our way. And I love this bit here. I'll accompany you. But Jacob said, no, it's okay. I'm good. My Lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and the cows that are nursing their young. If they are driven hard just one day, all the animals will die. In other words, no, we're just going to be too slow here. We don't want to bother you anymore. We're going to be real slow here. And what does Jacob want to do? He wants to get out of Dodge. Wants to get out from underneath all this threat. And he wants some distance from Esau. That's what he's looking for. Okay? All right. So let my Lord go ahead and move along slowly at the pace of the flocks and herds before me and the pace of the children until I come to land of Seir. Esau said, then let me leave some men with you. But why do that? Jacob asked. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want, please, just let me get out of here. I don't want to mess it up here. I don't want any of your guys to mess it up. Let's just get some distance here. I can just see him, okay? Have you ever had that feeling? So far, so good. I better be getting out of here. I don't need to be here. Okay, just let me find favor in the eyes of my Lord. Okay, go to the next slide. So that day Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, went to Succoth, where he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called Succoth. Okay, and I guess Succoth means shelter, I think, if I remember right, and that kind of thing. Okay, and everybody goes like this. Boy, that was a job. That was a job between Laban and Esau. Wow. Yeah, but you know, I just got to. You know, I'm reading into this. I know that he's really breathing easy, and he's feeling pretty good about himself. He's feeling pretty good about his family. He's feeling pretty good about God. And okay, now we got to go to some of the more seedy parts, okay, of the text. So there's another one too tonight, okay? So. Remember, now you see, last week we tried to get you to have some sense of the flavor of the tent. I don't know if you remember that or not. Oh man, okay. I don't know. It's all according to how you look at that flip. Look at that, okay? But it was pretty risque, okay? Put it that way. Well, we got some risque tonight, too. When you turn Sharon loose with this stuff, I mean, she'll do it. You didn't do that, did you? Did Chris? Okay. But she does, every once in a while, she does a really nice touch like that, you know. So, all right. Let me just glance at my notes here. Okay. Yeah, one thing I was supposed to do is to tell you the Luke passage we're hanging on, you know, where the guy goes next door at midnight to get some bread from his neighbor, and his neighbor tells him, I can't get out of bed, and kids are all asleep, and he won't give him the bread. And then the guy just keeps knocking on the door, and you think he's going to get louder every time. Finally, the guy will get up and give him the bread just to get rid of him. It's called a nuisance value. And that was said, now this is the way you need, Jesus says, this is the way you need to be in prayer. Because everyone who asks receives, everyone who knocks, it's open. And that's out of the book of Luke, okay? All right, I needed to do that. Now, Dinah. If you remember, Dinah was mentioned as being born, maybe a couple of weeks ago now, but her birth was mentioned, and I said, if a woman's birth is mentioned, you ought to pay attention to it. okay, and this may be the reason why we were supposed to pay attention to it, because, you know, the writer knows this story is coming up too, you know, so might as well get it. Okay. Now, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and raped her. Now, I don't remember that word being used in my others, okay? But this would be considered a rape you'll see in the family considered that way, okay? His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father, get me this girl as my wife. Now, this is the son of the king, or a son of probably a city-state. Okay, it'd be a city-state, so it'd be more like what we would call a mayor, but still, he's the top ruling guy there. And they're used to getting anything they want. And that's what he's doing here. He's just acting like the spoiled brat, just gets anything he wants. Okay, and so he tells his dad, what? Get me this girl as my wife. So he's not completely dishonorable. Completely. Okay. Dishonorable, but it's a bad thing. Okay. When Jacob heard about his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with livestock, so he did nothing about it until they came home. And Shechem, father, Hamor, went into talk with Jacob. Okay. Now, I think you have two factions here to really watch out for. And that's Jacob and the sons. And I'm not putting them together here because I think there's a splitting of the way. Okay. But you're talking about adult men. Okay. And, okay. Let's go to the next one. Meanwhile, Jacob's son had come in from the fields. As soon as they had heard what had happened, they were shocked and furious because Shechem had done this outrageous thing in Israel by sleeping with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. Notice it's a change of the words there. That's why I say the words are not that clear in the Hebrew, and there may not be a way to express rape as we would think about it, okay? That gets really complicated if you go down that way, okay? All right. But Hamor said to them, my son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. Intermarry with us, give us your daughters, and take our daughters for yourselves so that you settle among us The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it. Which is done a lot to, you know, marrying into the family was done a lot to start a kind of contract or an agreement with them. So it's not way out of line, okay? What's out of line? Messing with Dinah. That's out of line. Messing with Dinah. And it will not go away like that. Okay, you know that? They got to know this too. Okay? He just spoiled. This guy just spoiled. Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I am to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask. Only give me the young woman as my wife." Now, he's just looking for a way to make this go away. He may like her, okay? I don't know that. But I know he knows down deep he's got to make this go away. He don't. Okay. The next slide, they said, "We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sisters to a man who is not circumcised." this is not tradition, really. That, in other words, Gentiles cannot be circumcised and become Jews. Okay, that's not the way it works, but they all don't know that. Okay? But the brothers know this. And that's why I'm laying a lot of this at the brothers' feet. We'll see as we work through this. You'll come out where you come out, okay? And Jacob is thinking, starting to be silent now anyway in a lot of ways. And the funny thing is, he's not called Israel here. Either. That's another thing that kind of bothers me about the text. When I say bothers me, I mean I can't quite make really good sense of it. Okay? Yeah. Okay. But he's not called Israel here. All right. "We will enter into an agreement with you on one condition, only that you become like us by circumcising all males." There you go. We got a solution. We got way out of the problem, right? "Then he will give our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you." And do they want to do this? No, they don't want to do this. They want to be God. They're called to be God's people. They're not supposed to be settling in and intermingling and all that kind of thing. No, Abraham sent way up to Haran to get a wife for him. He didn't want one of these wives from down here. Now, okay, where's Jacob get his wife? Way up there, Haran. They don't want to do this. They're just doing what? Setting the trap. "And we'll give you our daughters." Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. Okay. 3 days later, while all the men were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simon and Levi, that's why I'm really laying this at a lot of the brothers. I may be overplaying that. That's all right. But okay. "Took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left." I'm just saying there are guys you don't mess with. And I had to talk to my son when he was a young man. And I wasn't all that wise about such things, but he was pretty tough. And he was pretty rugged. And I had to take him aside and tell him, "Now, I'm going to tell you, you know what happens to tough guys? I know what happens. Tough guys. They get shot." And I had seen it in East St. Louis several times. There was some real tough guys there. One got shot in the head in the police station. I know they was all afraid of him. And that's what happened. And there are other guys that just ain't going to take a whooping from nobody. There are guys like that. And I'm just telling you, and these men are like that. They are to be trifled, are not to be trifled with. And you, okay, I'm just telling you. And there's a sense in which you need to be that way. I love that line in, I forget the name of the movie. It's just a kid's movie, but I like it. And the character's name was Latrell. He went into this cave, and there was a great big giant wolf in there. And the giant wolf looked at him, going to take him, and Latrell took a hold of his knife. He says, "I will not die easily." It's a great line. Great line. Okay? And here you have, these guys are not to be trifled with. Okay? Now you may think they're just some country bumpkins out here, okay? But they're not to be trifled with. These guys play for real. And they did here, okay? They get things where they can handle them. And they did. Dinah and left the house. That was the end of that story. Now things are kind of leveled out, you know. All right. And also, something has to be said here about their concept of virginity. In other words, a maiden. That was considered a commodity for the family. And she doesn't have that commodity anymore. I just wanted to put that out there so you understand that in their life and in their economy. That's the way it works. Okay? Then God said to Jacob, "Get up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and all who were with him, "Get rid of your foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes." Three things. Turn your back on other gods, cleanse yourself, and change your outward appearance. Okay? That's what they are to do. Do you remember the gods that were stolen from Laban? I think it was Laban's house. Okay, you remember that. Okay. And that's probably involved in this. But every once in a while, yes, you do. Even on yourself. You need to do that every once in a while. Clean house. Okay? All them trophies don't have any place anymore. Okay? We're going into a whole new era. As Paul would say, forget what is behind and look forward to what is ahead. This one thing I do. And what is that? Forget what is behind and press forward. Oh, well, we did this and we did that. No. No. That's over with. That's gone. Make good. Okay? So they're going to have a revival here, or at least to clean themselves up a little bit as best they can. Okay? It's a good thing to do. Let's go to our next one. "Then come, let us go up to Bethel." Now, Bethel is house of God. Beth is the name for house. And El, of course, is God, "where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone." And I sure took it that way, too. That was a day of his distress. I mean, the pressure was on him, and what, God showed up. God answered him. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had, their rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them underneath the oak at Shechem. Now, I assume the rings in the ears were like Lucky Charms or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what that would be. I'm just really guessing at that. Okay, but it had something to do with the religious aspect of the foreign gods. Okay, confirmation here. "After returning from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel.' So he named him Israel." Now, I don't know whether this, you have to remind him of this, okay? But it seemed to me like he's already been named that. But we're going to name him again. And, you know, there was a gap in there where Israel wasn't used, okay? I that was kind of, honestly, it's kind of strange to me. I don't know what to make of that. But, okay. And so here he's getting this confirmation with God again about what he is to be, who he is to be in terms of the future. And where he is taking the clan. Okay, let's go to, and God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and increase in number. By the way, 71, wasn't that great to see all them kids here? Don't you just love that? I just do. I just love that. And that nice gentleman who was the pastor, a pastor of the family, looks like, too. And, you know, and I got to tell him, your tribe increases. That was so much fun. I love doing that. Yeah, your tribe increases. Yeah. Okay. Increases in number. And it's important. It's important that your tribe increases. It's important. I know there's people who say, oh, numbers don't count. Oh, yes, they do. Well, yes, they do. If you don't believe it, ask my accountant if they count or not. They do. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham, Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after. And God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Wow. Confirmation again about what God is doing. Really nothing new in this. Nothing new except it's new to him. You know, you need to be confirmed every once in a while. Boy, but it would have been nice to hear. Especially when you're younger and you're doing stuff. You know, you're just doing your best. Be nice to say, well, now you're on the right track now. Now, boy, you get that. Oh, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. Makes you, oh, that's what, now what's God telling him? You're on the right track now. Got you going the right direction now. What is? He's back in the land he's supposed to be in. He's out of danger with the two rivals, Laban and Esau. And now, man, we need to turn on the afterburner, right? Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, where are we at now? What are we doing? Oh, the 12 sons. If you have your Bible, I think I would be amiss if I didn't read this, just so you know it's in there. It's ugly. It's not. And so I left it out the first time around, but I went over it again. I said, I better not do that because Genesis 35:22 is the text. I had to bring that. I had to bring that up there, okay? Okay, let me read the 22nd verse, and then we'll pick up with 23 over here. All of who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry. Am I getting the wrong spot? Where am I? I got. Yeah, I would try Genesis, not Exodus. I thought, I knew somebody really up there. All right. Okay, we'll try it again. While Israel was living in the region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah. And Israel heard of it. I'm not sure he did anything about it, but he heard of it. That just isn't done. That just isn't done. Reuben, the oldest one. Yeah, the oldest one. And I just couldn't leave it. What is his dad to do? You got to ask him. What's he to do? Yeah, I know. I know it. And that's only, really only a recourse he has. I'm glad he didn't. But, okay, Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, Simeon, what are we going to do? We're going to list all of the 12 tribes, what you do. And you are, I really do think it's valuable, especially if you're going to spend much time in the Old Testament, to pick up on the tribes themselves. In other words, you know that there's 12 tribes, and you always lose track of them, okay? Because Joseph is there, okay? And we're going to pick up on him later. And then later he fades out as in terms of the tribe, and his two sons come in, Ephraim and Manasseh, come in and become tribes in their own right, which is kind of confusing, I know. But just other than that, you know, just try to get some idea of the tribes themselves. Like Levi, that's the tribe of priests. That's all. But just kind of pick up on that. Judah is the kingly tribe. That's the tribe that Jesus is from. Those kinds of things, okay? All right. Hey, oh, didn't you have fun reading the boundaries of a... Me and Joel, we have committed this. I don't even want to tell anybody this. I don't know. They'll get held accountable. Me and Joel have committed to not only read the Bible through, but to do it together. I know. No, it's your turn. No. I'm just teasing. But just try to get some idea of, and when you see this like this here, also you see why Joseph and Benjamin are his favorites. Yeah. Especially Joseph, because he's oldest of the favored woman. And so if you just kind of, it will explain some of the things, especially later on, that you'll see play between Joseph, the brothers, and Benjamin. Okay, go to the next one. Who we have there? Rachel's servant, Bilhah, Dan, Naphtali, the sons of Leah, Zilpah, Gad, Asher. These are the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Okay, so that introduces you now to all 12. And you know where to come. Each one of them becomes their own tribe. Okay? All right. Oh, now we begin Joseph's accounts. Yep. Only chapter 38, which we'll get to right away. Chapter 38 is out. Okay? Just kind of take that out for a minute. The rest of this is all about Joseph, except 38. The rest of it's all about Joseph. Give you some idea how important Joseph is. Joseph is the bridge to Egypt. You got that. Joseph is the bridge to Egypt. Okay? And Joseph will explain exactly why they got to Egypt, how they got there, and that kind of thing, which is very important to know that. But the rest of this is going to be the Joseph story. All right. 37, loved by his father. We got a couple of minutes yet. Let's get into the aisle. Well, I love the Joseph story. Love the Joseph story. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, sons Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. So what's Joseph doing? He's a snitch. We don't like snitches. Yes. And you understand how this gets worse, even okay. But now you can see these guys get slack. I mean, they get out away from the tent, they're out there in the field, maybe for days at a time, they get slack and lazy and maybe drink too much wine and all that kind of stuff out there. You know how that goes. No, we don't, do we? No. And so what does Joseph do? He goes out there and sees, he knows what they do, and he comes back and tells his dad, "Daddy, this is what they're doing. This is not a plan." Okay. Let's read at least a couple more. Okay. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. There you go. Now you're starting to see this. Okay. There's another reason to hate Joseph. Because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. This is the... Well, they made a play out of this not long ago for New York. What was it? Technicolor. We don't have any idea what this means. I mean, obviously we know it's special and we know it's gaudy for them, okay? But we really don't know, you know, whether they're talking about embroidery color, if they did embroidery, I don't know, or knitting or something of that nature. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him, could not speak a kind word to him. They couldn't talk to him. Just couldn't talk to him. Now, that'll kind of take us over a little bit, okay? And of course, the next thing comes up is the dreams. That'll give us another reason to hate him when he has his dreams. So we'll work on that when we do that next, okay? Well, you guys have been a great group to work with tonight. Yeah. Not too rough, not there. No, you're welcome. Let's thank God for our time together. Okay, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we are so thankful for its honesty to us, because it does help us to understand life itself. And so we thank you for your word, and Lord, we pray that we can understand you better because of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.